Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Pride is a destroyer of relationships, of careers, and reputation. Learning to have a meek and teachable spirit is the key to your family happiness and to a great degree your future financial security and respect from others, not to mention your relationship with God. If you want strong relationships and friendships, if you want a successful and meaningful career, if you want a respected reputation, key to that is having a meek and, shall we say, teachable spirit. You see, God's ways are not man's ways. You see, man teaches the way to get ahead is pull down on the person above you and push down on the person below you. Think of yourself on a ladder and you're pulling down on the guy above you and you're pushing down on the guy below you. That's the way the world would say you succeed. That's not God's plan. In God's plan, with humility, you're encouraging the person above you. You're pushing them up forward. You're helping them to meet their goals and live the good life. And you're reaching down below to help the person below you. Remember what the Bible says. To go up, the Bible's different than the way our friends in the world see this. The Bible says to go up, you must first go down. See, it's a whole different way of thinking. You can't be influenced by the world. It's all around us and we're tempted to be. But we can't be. So the key to overcoming pride is very simply meekness, humility, or a teachable spirit. Let's just focus on meekness. What is meekness? Meekness describes the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. It's not necessarily thinking lowly of yourself. It's not being a doormat. But it's having an accurate view of who you are. It's having not an inflated view of who you are or a deflated view of who you are, but an accurate view of who you are. A child of God, a sinner saved by grace, a person that needs to learn, wants to grow, wants to benefit others. Meekness also, and I love this definition. Meekness is calm confidence. Again, you don't have to be a doormat. You're not to be pushed around. Meekness is a calm confidence, settled assurance, and rest of the soul. It is the tranquil stillness of a soul that is at rest in Christ. You don't have to make your case. You don't have to pull down on people above you. You don't have to push down on people below you. It is the tranquil stillness of a soul that is at rest in Christ. It is the place of peace. Meekness springs from a heart of humility and, poetically stated, radiating the fragrance of Christ. A person that is proud is usually irritable and ill at ease and not getting along with people, and there's a lot of drama in their lives. But then you go to the other extreme, woe is me, poor me, a person just kind of down on themselves. I'm sorry to be here. I'm sorry to be alive, appreciate you putting up with me. And we're not talking about that either. There's just a peace that you have with God. You're a person that is meek, again, isn't a doormat. A person that is meek is just has confidence in God, and you don't have to exert yourself, and you don't necessarily have to defend yourself. You know your relationship with God. You know who you are. Now, while the Bible condemns pride, and we saw that this morning, it promotes meekness. It promotes humility. It promotes a teachable spirit. We stated this morning that pride corrupts relationships. We focus on three things: relationships, reputation, and career, not to mention our relationship with God, so really four. However, with a meek spirit, a humble spirit, a teachable spirit, that promotes relationships. Who doesn't want better relationships? Meekness is the key. It promotes our careers. Who doesn't want to be a success at whatever you're doing 40 hours a week? It promotes reputations. And best of all, it promotes our reputation or our relationship with God. Now, this morning we looked at relationships, careers, and reputation, how pride destroys those things. Well, this afternoon, let's finish those verses, okay? This morning we looked at the first half of those verses. This afternoon we're going to look at the first half of those verses and the second half of those verses and learn some very important truths. When it comes to relationships, Proverbs 13:10, we said this morning, only by pride cometh contention. Okay? Proud people fight. Proud people are wanting their way. Proud people do not want to negotiate. Proud people don't want to talk about it. Proud people are getting their feelings hurt. Proud people want to take their ball and go home and quit playing the game. Contention comes from pride. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Wisdom allows us to understand and grow in patience and in compassion, which does what? Promotes relationships. That promotes the relationship between a husband and a wife, between parents and their children, between an employer and their employees. But with the well-advised is wisdom. The well-advised, think about that. People who listen. Proud people are know-it-alls. They don't need to go to church. They don't need to listen to anybody. I got this figured out. I'm my own man. I'm a self-made man. With the well-advised is wisdom. People like you who are sitting, listening to me proclaim the word of God. My views aren't really important, but God's views are. And I'm telling you, God's view is that with the well-advised is wisdom. And when you have that wisdom in association with that verse, which is talking about contention, the obvious implication there is if you listen, you will develop wisdom. And when you develop wisdom, you will not be in contention with other people, and you will have the right relationship with your spouse. You will have the right relationship with your parents. You'll have the right relationship with the boss or with your employees, neighbors and friends, or people at church. So, relationships. Who doesn't want good relationships? The key is humility, meekness, gained by wisdom, but from being well advised. Secondly, careers. Now this morning, we looked in Proverbs 29:23, and it says, a man's pride shall bring him low. Okay? A know-it-all at work is not the guy that they're advancing. It's the guy that's listening, studying, obeying, doing what he's told, showing competency, showing maturity. That's the guy that's going to get the promotion. But it says here, a man who is proud, he shall be brought low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. The humble in spirit. Honor will come to those. Why? Because they're showing self-restraint. They're showing maturity. They're showing that they're rational. They're showing that they can dissect problems, that they're willing to learn. They're willing to grow. And that kind of person is the one that's going to be promoted. Humility makes you eager to learn and to cooperate, which makes you a valuable team player. Which means when it comes time at work to let some people go, you're staying because you are valuable. You listen, you learn, you do what you're supposed to do. We can trust you. You show maturity. You add value to the organization. So a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So if you want to have the right kind of relationships with people, you need to be humble. You need to be meek. If you want to advance in your career, you need to be humble. You need to be meek. You need to be teachable. And then thirdly, reputation. We said this morning, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. What we didn't share with you this morning was the rest of that verse, which says, but with the lowly is wisdom. But with the lowly is wisdom. Lowly, someone who isn't a know-it-all. Someone who isn't wanting to argue all the time. Someone who is willing to listen and to learn, that person has wisdom, and wisdom allows us to avoid the actions and the attitudes that bring shame and therefore will bring respect to you. which allows you to have a voice with people for the cause of Christ, to allow you to be salt and light on this earth that the know-it-alls will never experience in their lives. So, key to our relationships, key to our careers, key to our reputation is that we be meek. The Bible says, but with the well-advised is wisdom. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit, but with the lowly, not the proud, but with the lowly is wisdom. This morning in our focus on pride, we looked at King Saul. And it's just very apparent to me that King Saul had to be filled with all kind of pride. Now, there's no guessing who was a humble man in the Old Testament. When you think about humility in the Old Testament, the Bible says of one man in Numbers 12:3, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. When you think about Saul, you don't have any good thing to say about Saul. What a sad, pathetic life. A man, when he was young, rose head and shoulders above everybody else, the obvious king to lead Israel, and just disaster after disaster after disaster, and we can find very little, if anything, good to say about him. But Moses, held with high esteem, made some mistakes along the way. Who doesn't? But of him, the Bible says, was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And you can see then, he did have quality relationships. And you often associate Moses with Aaron. Now, Moses and Aaron went through a lot of stuff. They had a lot of pressure on them. But Moses, with his meekness, was the kind of man that maintained through good times and bad times with Aaron, maintained a faithful friendship. Numbers 20:22. Let's read about it. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came into Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, here they are together through thick and thin, through all these years in the wilderness, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my words at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar, his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. And they went up unto the Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar. All of this is done voluntarily. It's not any tension going on here. All these men are following God's command. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount, and Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. My point is, the Bible says of Moses, he was meek. And as a meek man, him and Aaron made it through all the way to the very end. A relationship that was tried, a relationship that was tested, a relationship where along the way mistakes were made. But the Bible says very clearly that at that time Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, and that built relationships. Saul with David, his pride destroyed that relationship. Meekness is the key to building lasting relationships. But we talked this morning about the effect of pride on the career. And if you want to think of being a king as a career, you know, Saul started off as a king, and his career ended abruptly when the Lord said, I'm done. You're done. You're toast. And what got him in trouble? It was pride. Well, what about Moses? Because we think altogether differently about Moses. What about his career? Exodus 3. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, and a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey, and into the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, you got the right man. I am your man. I am the man for the job. That is not the kind of guy that God was looking for. Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And I'm thinking, God is thinking, that's just the kind of man I can use. Proud men can't be used. People filled with pride that know it all, that's got it all together, that never make any mistakes in their mind, they're useless. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses is demonstrating the meekness of which it describes him. Like, me, Lord? You got the wrong man. I am not the man. There's look at all these people. And look at, you know, there's no way that I can do this. And God said, that's the man. That's the man I want. When we promote ourselves, God, that stinks in the nostrils of God. But a humble man that learns to depend upon God, God says, that's the man I can use. So we see how Moses, his career was quite different from Saul's. And now we see how his reputation was quite different. If you remember Saul, it's just kind of like, you know, God, when he talks about the death of Saul, it's like he did these terrible things and God took him out. That's paraphrasing what it says, but that's basically the way the death of Saul was handled. And that tells you the reputation of a proud man. How about the reputation of a meek man? Deuteronomy 34:5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural face force abated. Listen to this, quite different from Saul. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. They wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. They wept for the man that started his journey by saying, not me. I'm not the man for the job. I'm not the man for the job. Saul, everybody looked at him. Look at him. He's big, tall, and handsome, and brave. He's the man for the job. And I think you could go back and say he knew he was the man for the job, thought he was the man for the job. Who else but me? Of course I'm the one to be king. He dies and everybody shrugs shoulders. Moses, who starts off by saying, I'm not your man, Lord. You know, surely there's somebody else better. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Meekness enhances our reputation. That was Moses' reputation. There's great value, folks. Let's look at this real quick. There's great value to a meek spirit, a humble spirit, or shall we say a teachable spirit. People that have a teachable spirit possess something that's going to promote them, that's going to make them more usable, going to make them more beneficial to themselves, to the world around them, to the cause of Christ. Let's look at those real quick. The teachable spirit is docile and tractable and therefore humble enough to learn. Remember we said this morning, proud people, they don't need it. They don't need a preacher. They don't need a teacher. They don't need anything. I got it together. A teachable spirit is a blessing to you because you're going to learn. And when you learn, you're going to grow. And when you grow, you're going to have greater insight, greater maturity. You're going to be of benefit to a greater number of people. Next, the teachable spirit is without resentment and without anger and is therefore able to face the truth even when it hurts and condemns. You see, a person filled with pride is going to have resentment, is going to be filled with anger, and is not going to be able to face the truth and therefore is going to be unchanged and going to continue on down that path of destruction. Destroying his reputation, destroying his relationships, and destroying whatever career he might have. Next, the teachable spirit is not blinded by its own overmastering prejudices, but is clear-eyed to the truth. You see, a person that is proud, he's going to judge that book. You know, that book is just written by, you know, a bunch of different people, and it's filled with mistakes, it's filled with contradictions. And when you're proud like that, guess what? You've just cut off the greatest source of blessings known to man. And lastly, the teachable spirit is not seduced by laziness, but is so self-controlled that it can willingly and faithfully accept the discipline of learning. Proud people want to do their thing, and they tend to be undisciplined. And if you're undisciplined, then you're not going to take the time to study. You're not going to take the time to learn. You're not going to grow. But a teachable person understands that it takes some effort. It takes some discipline. It takes some self-control. And when you learn, you grow. There is value in knowledge and attaining knowledge, especially the knowledge of God's word and his principles. So there's so much value to not being proud, and there's so much value in having a humble heart and a humble spirit. Now, this morning, we gave you a test that Adrian Rogers came up with that would indicate whether or not you are proud. I have a little test that was written by John MacArthur that would indicate as to whether or not you are humble and meek. And here's that test. He says, humble people don't offend other people. Humble people don't offend other people. Proud people don't care what they say to who under any circumstances. They're just going to say what they need to say, and they're usually pretty proud that they said it. And they don't care about the consequences. Humble people, it matters. It matters to them. It cares. They don't want to offend. Humble people want to bring people together. They don't want to separate people. Number two, humble people are ready to forgive other people. Proud people don't do that. Nope. I'm getting even, or I'm going to make them suffer. And I hope they suffer with this till the day they die. They ask for my forgiveness, they ain't getting it. Humble people are ready to forgive other people. Number three, humble people have a self-awareness of their own inadequacies and shortcomings. You shouldn't beat yourself up. You shouldn't wallow in self-pity. But at the same time, we need to be mature enough to know our weaknesses and to be aware of them. There have been times that I've had to tell people, you know, this is a problem. And rather than saying, I'm sorry, you're right, Pastor, I know, I'm aware of this, other people have told me that, I've said that to people that, you know, you really have a problem this here. And they get offended. They get angry and they get mad. And as I think about the people I've had those kind of encounters with, their life just goes in circles. And their reputation is tarnished usually. And their careers are mediocre at best. Humble people have a self-awareness of their own inadequacies and shortcomings. And it's not fun. You know, it's not fun to realize that you've got a real weakness in this area. You know, you don't like to be told that. Sharon tells me of mine all the time. She does point out, she said, sometimes she'll say, you are just like so-and-so. Not talking about anybody, talking about a family member. She says, you're just like so-and-so. And when she says that, that ain't a compliment. She's not meaning that as a compliment. And I have had to say before to her, you are right. I don't like admitting it. It's painful for me to say that, but you are right. Humble people have a self-awareness of their own inadequacies and shortcomings. You know, you can't do anything about it until you acknowledge it, right? I mean, you got to acknowledge it first. And if you don't think you have any shortcomings or problems, then, you know, you really are blinded by pride. And humble people seek, this is according to John MacArthur, seek to avoid honor and recognition. A lot of people seek it and want it, and if it doesn't come their way, they're offended and mad. A humble person, you know, if somebody compliments them, that's fine. But they don't have to have that. Don't need to be recognized in the community. Don't need to be recognized by the pastor. You know, I did what I did because it was right, and hopefully it helped somebody, and I was a contributing positive force, and I'm glad to help. You know, the last thing they want, the last thing they seek. Now, if it comes to you, like we said Wednesday night, you know, if you get a compliment, just accept it. Be humble, say thank you, and be appreciative of it. But understand that it's not what we're seeking. And if your feelings get hurt, you know, then you just have to understand you got a problem in that area. So how can you develop humility? I love this slide right here. How humility will make you the greatest person ever. Okay, you ready? See the irony there? Humility, greatest person ever. I thought it was funny anyway. Tom, you get it, don't you? Number one, realize pride is very destructive and highly unprofitable. It's not getting you what you thought it was getting you. Number two, acknowledge that you are a prideful person. That can be painful, but you're not going to fix what you won't acknowledge. Number three, ask God to forgive you and others if necessary. If you've been arrogant and haughty and contentious, yeah, you need to acknowledge it before the Lord, but there may be some people you need to go to and ask them to forgive you. Number four, determine to talk less and listen more. That's one of the signs of a humble person. Number five, appreciate what others can contribute to your life. Listen. Y'all have all heard it said, you know, you got two ears and one mouth. And that tells you what God intended for you to use the most. Number six, find places to serve that you have resisted in the past. You know, because, well, I'm not going to have my way, so I'm just not going to get involved with that. No, just humbly serve. Say, where can I be of help? Start practicing it. Start living humility. Just say, hey, I'm just a team player. I don't need to be in charge. I don't need to be the boss. Somebody tell me what to do, and I'll be able to do it. And if you've been a very proud person, people sort of start saying, what? What? You see, so he used to want to be in charge. Now he's just saying, hey, let me help. And number seven, humility is dependent upon gratitude. Thank God daily for his patience, his goodness, and his grace. Thank God daily. So, the two messages today are very practical. It is a fact that any one of us that harbor pride in our hearts, we're making life harder. And we're hurting our reputation. But those who see it, recognize it, deal with it, and it may take a while, it may be a hard sin to conquer, but acknowledge it and keep fighting it, understand that meekness will build the relationships and in a way you want that relationship, and that your career, you're much more likely to progress in your career if you are a team player, if you are learning, if you're doing what you're told and you show up on time and you have a good spirit and you demonstrate meekness and humility. And your reputation will grow exponentially when you demonstrate humility. Because you will then, as we read in those verses, develop wisdom. The lowly have wisdom. They're listening. They're not too proud. They're low, they listen, and they learn, and therefore you avoid these mistakes that ruin your reputation, and then you're not in a position to be admired. The whole idea is you're in a position to be heard, where you can be salt and light, and you have credibility with people. One of the worst sins known to man, according to Scripture, is pride. When it talks about these six things that the Lord hates, the first one mentioned is pride. And to be honest, I can't speak for everybody, but it's an area in which all of us, I'm sure, to some degree, struggle. And we need to make sure that we keep it under check, because that's only going to hurt us going forward. Whereas humility, not being a doormat, but just being comfortable in your own skin, knowing who you are, knowing that you don't have all the answers, knowing that you need to learn, knowing that you need to listen to people, knowing that you need to appreciate others, you have that kind of spirit and that kind of attitude, God's going to bring you up. We bring ourselves down, he brings us up.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.